We've been singing about the sea. Does anyone remember what song that was I told you about? Any brother, what was it? Sorry, he's already given it away. It was going to be $100. But now that he was going to give it away. Yes. They did go down to the sea in ships and in great waters. That's a very appropriate song. That's also Mark chapter 4. You would be amazed at how many references there are to storms. Psalm 107, the book of Jonah, Mark 4, Acts 27, in addition to other portions. But now, see if you can give me your attention from verse 21 to the end. Let me read it to you, and then speak to you briefly on it. And when they had been long without food, then Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have set sail from Crete and gotten this injury and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God whose I am, whom also I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must stand before Caesar, and lo, God hath granted thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even so as it hath been spoken unto me, but we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven to and fro in the Sea of Adria, about midnight the sailors surmised that they were drawing near to some country, and they sounded and found 20 fathoms, a fathom is 6 feet, and after a little space they sounded again and found 15 fathoms. And fearing lest perchance we should be cast ashore on rocky ground, they let go 4 anchors from the stern, and the word is eukamai, prayed for the day. And as the sailors were seeking to flee out of the ship and had lowered the boat into the sea under color, as though they would lay out anchors from the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was going on, Paul besought them all to take some food, saying, This day is the 14th day that you wait and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I beseech you to take some food, for this is for your salvation, your safety. For there shall not a hair from your head perish on any of you. And when he had said this, and had taken bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. And they were all of good cheer then, and themselves also took food. And they were in all in the ship 260 souls, 276. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they perceived a certain bay with a beach, and they took counsel whether they could drive the ship upon it. And casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea, at the same time loosing the bands of the rudder, and hoisting up the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But lighting upon a place where two seas met, they ran the vessel aground, and the foreship struck and remained unmovable. But the stern began to break up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, desiring to save Paul, saved them from their purpose, and commanded that they who could swim should cast themselves overboard and get first to the land, and the rest some on planks and some on other things from the ship. So it came to pass that they all escaped safe to the land. Let us speak to the Lord in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for this exciting chapter we've read tonight. Lord, it's far more enjoyable to read it than to experience it. But we are thankful that from it, we see that you are a God who can help us. If we're high up on the mountain, or if we've gone down to the sea in ships, we are thankful that you are a God who sends storms, but you also send peace. We are thankful that your Son could speak words, peace, be still, and the winds and the waters obeyed his word. And so let us learn from this storm through which Paul and his companions went, and bless our souls from it tonight, we pray. We look to thee the good. Illumine us, we ask of thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I was asked last week, when I finished speaking, and it was a good question, did you tell me that Paul had been praying for those people on the ship? And I said yes, because he doesn't tell us that he was praying, but what he told them tells us he had been praying. Will you pray, give us this day our daily bread? You pray, and if God gives you your daily bread and you mention it, then you've been praying to God. And it says concerning these 275 that Paul had been praying for, and no doubt himself included, because he had prayed. It said, God has given you all of those for whom you prayed, the ones you prayed for. So we can thank God when we see that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much in its working, or the prayer of a righteous man worketh greatly. Here is the prayer that went up to God, and God gave him those men. Now, I want you to understand this, that there are certain periods of life that God gives to all men, but your behavior and the prayer of others either extends those days or shortens those days. Listen to what it says concerning the wicked. It says, the wicked live not out half their days. What does that mean? It means that God had a length of days for them, but because of their wickedness, they lived out half their days. Let me ask you this. How long do you think Absalom, David's beautiful son, would have lived had he not rebelled and tried to seize the kingdom and put his father to death? You see, because of our behavior, the allotment that God has given to us can be extended. I remember that one named Hezekiah, God said, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. But he prayed, and God saw fit to extend those days. So keep this in mind. The same way, and I shall tell you this by anticipation, that the statements that are peremptory and final, they also can be altered by the behavior of those to whom they are spoken. Did Paul not tell all those on the ship what the angel told him? That not one of them was going to perish. God had given him the lives of all of those that were on the ship. You say, well then, no worry. All is going to be well. I'm so glad that when a statement is made, the man who made the statement helps us interpret the statement. That is why when somebody says, why, after 3 days, that means on the fourth day Jesus rose from the dead. If you read all the references about 3 days and after 3 days, you'll find that it means on the third day. Because in Luke chapter 24, they said, this is now the third day. So there's no doubt. Look at all of them and see what it is. And so now Paul is interpreting the words of the promise that he made to those that were on the ship. And the promise was this, you're going to live. But he made this statement in addition. He said, except these sailors remain on the ship, we cannot be saved. Now, what would you think of that? I want you to take two things into consideration. That some miracles are wrought of God, and they're completely of God. And other things are miraculous, that they occur in such a natural way that you would never know that there was anything miraculous about them. And there were three conditions. If the promise that the angel had made to Paul and Paul had passed on to them, three conditions, if it were going to be fulfilled, there shall be no loss of life. He said, first of all, if these sailors get away in that boat, then there's nobody that's able to steer this boat to the land and put it in a position where we can be saved. Because the centurion did not know how, and his soldiers did not know how. And so these sailors had to stay on the ship. And the centurion accepted Paul's word. So that was one condition. And they hadn't eaten, take it for what it's worth, in 14 days, and they would be at the point of exhaustion. And Paul said, you have to eat some food because it's for your safety, your salvation. You'll need strength. Even our Savior, after he had fasted during his temptation, it said angels came and ministered unto him. And they had to have strength to do what was necessary to fulfill the promise of God. And one other thing. He said, now, all of you who are on the ship, you're going to get to shore safely, but you have to swim to shore. And if you can't swim, you have to take a plank that's broken loose from the ship, or a barrel, and you have to hold on to that, and you have to get to shore the best way you can. Now, there are some who would say, I'm not going to try to swim, and I'm not going to lay hold on a board. I'm just going to let God get me to shore. You would drown. Remember that. God can do such a thing. But God has set before us here a promise, but in this instance, it is a promise for the cooperation of man. At times, the things that God does for us require no cooperation from man. The Lord Jesus said, as you believe, so be it done unto you. So they had to believe. And if they did not believe, it was not going to be done. But let me ask you this. When the Lord went to that dead maiden and said, Talitha kumi, little lamb, arise. Tell me, what cooperation could she put into what Christ had said? There was nothing she could do. It was completely of God. But there are times when the Lord tells us certain things to do, and unless we do them, the promise has been changed. I shan't go into that more, but just from what I've told you, and from what we read here, take that to heart. Now, because of that, it means that if we lay hold on a promise, and that promise has been rescinded, then that promise is not going to be kept like this. You'll find that when Christ first sent out his disciples in Luke chapter 10, he said, take absolutely nothing for your journey. But at the end of his ministry, he said, when I sent you forth, taking nothing, what did you lack? They said, we have everything we needed. He said, but now, take food, take clothing, take provision, and if you do not have a sword, go get a sword. And so if someone comes along and says, I'm going to take the word of Christ in Luke chapter 10, and I shall prevail, you have no assurance from God that that's so. You have to see when it's all of God and when it is man in cooperation with God, not detracting from God, because some miracles, and this is what is so remarkable, some miracles like these are of such a nature that the natural man will read this and just laugh and say, you speak of a miracle? Why, it's not miraculous at all. They just had abundant good luck. And even those who said that weren't believers in God, why, the fact that we all escaped with our lives, it's a miracle. And if you interrupted them and said, do you mean that God miraculously intervened? No, it was just a rare thing. It was a miracle, but it was a miracle. But some miracles God brings to pass in such a way that you cannot say that it was a miracle, and yet everything was in the hand of God. So, whatever he has promised us, and however it comes to pass, even though we cannot see the hand of God working directly, the hand of God is working, and it took the hand of God to bring them all to shore safely. And another thing, the fact that God has made your promise, do not think that because you know he made you that promise, that you shall never waver and doubt that he shall keep that promise. Let me tell you something that the man after God's own heart, David, the shepherd of Israel, said. The Lord had promised him that he was going to be king of Israel. And yet when Saul was chasing him, like a partridge, he said, there is but a step between me and death. This is what he said. He said, I shall now one day perish by the hand of Saul. Impossible. If God has made him a promise that he's going to be king over Israel, and he's not king, even over the southern tribes, how could God lie? Because God has told you, it does not mean that you shall never waver. And so David left in 1 Samuel 27 and went over to where the enemies were, because he was afraid that Saul was going to put him to death. I shall now one day perish. And that God has made you a promise. If you're in the hand of Christ, you shall never perish. You look at it today and you say, true. But if you are depressed, if your faith is not constant, you'll say, Lord, I do not know if I shall be preserved. I do not know that I shall never perish. I tell you that. So remember that even those who know God has made a promise, there are times when you can look away from that promise and you can begin to sink, whereas at one time you were walking upon the water. Do you remember? And that's the marvel, that when the Lord told Peter, come to me, that Peter started walking to him on the water. And then he looked back and he came to him himself and he said, what am I doing? And he began to sink. And so in like manner, we can go on well, and if things, if circumstances overpower our reason, then we can begin to sink. So remember all of these things, the practical as well as the spiritual, the miraculous, because Christ acts in such a strange way. You remember when he fed 5,000 and there were 12 baskets left over. My thinking would be this. I have a leader that can feed me. It's unnecessary for me to do anything. I'm not going to take any food, preserve it. Why, he can just take a loaf of bread and fishes and feed us again. But the marvel is after the miracle, Christ said, save up the fragments. Now, in like manner, he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. That's the miracle. And then he said, give us something to eat. In like manner, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And then he said, now loose him and let him go. So there is placed side by side in Scripture the miraculous and the practical. And we would set aside the practical or the miraculous, but our Lord put them both together. And this is the case when they're on the sea. So if God is going to keep you alive, if you haven't eaten food, you're going to be hungry and weak. And in like manner, the other provisions that God has made, you have to make use of them. So here is the instance, and Paul says, I believe God. But Paul also had been afraid. How do I know? Because the angel came to him and he said, fear not, Paul. And Paul had to comfort the others, but at the same time, Paul had been afraid as well. This is now the fourth shipwreck that he's been in. No wonder he told them, let's not go. I understand that there's going to be loss, even lives. And please notice that he said, if they went on that ship, they would have died. And Paul prayed to God, and God gave him everyone on that ship. So when you're trying to figure out things, understand that when you read that saying I've seen on bumpers, stickers, prayer changes things, you have to believe it. He said that we're going to die if we go out on this journey. But he prayed, and there was no loss of life. And he said, if you let those sailors go, we're going to perish. We can't be saved without them. So why is God dependent upon any sailors to bring a ship to shore when his son could still the storm? I'm not able to answer those questions. No one else is. But I know this. If the command is given, swim, and you say, I don't have to swim, you see what will happen. And I do not have to eat food to have strength. Do without food and see what happens to you. So both of these things are brought together. Now, Another thing to show you the ingratitude and how little part on the ship believed Paul and how much some on the ship believed him. When Paul said there shall not be any loss of life, the sailors had no faith in what Paul said, unless they were going to say, yes, God helps those that help themselves, because what they pretended, if you remember earlier in the chapter, they had dragged the boat, the little boat, onto the big boat. But now they're pretending that when they let this boat down, they're going to put out more anchors. But Paul saw through it that they were trying to escape in that boat to the land. Why? Because they thought that was the only way they could be saved. And that's how little they cared about anybody else on that boat. And yet the Apostle Paul cared about everyone on that boat. He loved them, and he desired that they might be saved. And I told you in Romans chapter 10, his love for the nation of Israel, the ones that stoned him, the ones that rejected him, the ones that are the very cause of his going to Rome as a prisoner. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for them that they might be saved. And so let us pray to God that we might have a love for the lives of men as well as for the souls of men, because he wanted them to be saved. And another thing, let me show you the similarity between this and Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, we have a Roman in charge, and he knew that the escape of the prisoners meant death. And so he was about to kill himself, because he thought those prisoners had escaped. But Paul, being there, said, do yourself no harm. And here, if these prisoners escape, it's going to cost the lives of those soldiers that are guarding them. But the centurion is prepared to trust Paul that there shall be no loss of life and none of the prisoners are going to get away. And for his trust in Paul, it meant that every life of the prisoner was going to be saved, not only from drowning, but also for being executed by the soldier that was guarding him. You see how much the presence of Paul meant. And so I ask again, is my presence with worldlings like these, is it a blessing? Is it salvation? Is it hope? Is it good cheer, as in the case of Paul? Or is it like Jonah, and they had to throw Jonah overboard, that the storm would cease? Now, one other thing, this is what is so interesting, about the presence of Paul on the ship and Jonah. In the case of Jonah being thrown overboard, when he was, the storm dissipated. But in this case, there was no dissipation of the storm. They have to go through the storm. It's not like the Lord Jesus saying, peace, be still. The storm continues. And this is how it is with some of us in life. We could wish that the Lord Jesus, whenever a storm entered our lives, would miraculously stand up and say, peace, be still. But I'm afraid that most often, the storms in our lives are like this one, and possessions are lost, and the ship that we put our faith in, it goes to pieces, and we escape to land only with our lives. But understand that this is what happens, the way that God works at times. In the case of Jonah, throw Jonah overboard. But in this case, everybody has to stay on board to have life and preservation. And sometimes God stills the storm, and sometimes God takes us through the storms. So remember this, and I quote that verse now that we were considering. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. When I pray that prayer, I would like one to take away the temptation. But he says, I'm not going to take it away. I'm going to leave it, but I'll enable you to bear it. And in like manner, I could wish that the storm would go away. But God says, it's not going away, but I will take you through that storm. Lord, take this thorn in the flesh away. No, but I will give you grace, and my grace is sufficient. So from these portions, understand that God works in various ways. And let us be sure that when we are in the presence of men, and nothing that we have done, but something that they have done, is causing the trouble, let us be sure that as the Savior said, you are salt and you are light. As salt, they are preserving the lives of those on the ship. And as light, they are witnessing. Listen to this. The God, whose I am, whom I serve, had his angel to come and speak to me this night. And also, unashamedly, he told them they had to eat food. He stood up in the presence of them. He gave thanks and he broke bread in the presence of all these heathen. And it said when he did that, then they were filled with good cheer. They took courage and they had that inward strength and they had eaten food. They had that physical strength and they had a sailors on board that would do everything they could professionally to get that ship to land. And they had the promise of God that if you'll swim or if you'll get hold of some board or piece of wood that's floating, you'll get to land safely. And it was all true. Now understand that it was all true, not because every one of them believed, because some did not believe. I told you that the sailors wanted to escape and save their lives, but because Paul believed. He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. So thank God to somebody in an assembly that has faith in God and say to the rest of you, you have good cheer because I believe God. You have no faith in God. And also this, two things about this centurion. He, like the centurions over and over again, are always presented to us in a good light. You remember that centurion who had a servant that was dear unto him? And he wanted the Lord Jesus to come and heal that servant. But he said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Do you remember Cornelius, the centurion? Do you remember that centurion that was watching the Lord Jesus? When he died, he said, truly, this was a righteous man. This was the Son of God. And here is another centurion, and he shows Paul kindness. When he goes to Sidon, he allows Paul to go and see his friends and be refreshed. And now, instead of putting the prisoners to death, this centurion, because he wanted to save Paul, said, no, they are not to be put to death. And so here is a centurion, and think of the respect he has for Paul, the confidence he has in Paul, the trust he has in Paul. And I could hope to God that the worldlings round about me, from what I say, from my deportment, that they would have faith in God, and their eye would be directed toward God, because he said this, an angel of the God, whose I am, whom I serve. You see, all of these on board ship had their God. It was the same way with Jonah. He said, all those on the ship of Jonah, he said, let everybody pray to his own God. It didn't matter who he was. You pray. And so there was prayer in the days of Jonah, and there was prayer from the lips of Paul, even though we do not know, other than, Lord, I want you to give me the lives of these men. And God did. But there was also prayer from the sailors. You find the word euchemai, and part of the time in the New Testament, it is translated wish, and the other time it's translated pray. You've heard this. Pray for one another. That's the same word. And it says the prayer of a righteous man, and that's the same word, the noun and the verb. And so we very well could say that they were not wishing for the day, but they were praying for the day. Just like that soldier in a foxhole, he learned how to pray. And this is what they're praying for here. They pray for the day. And this is what I want you to understand. That though it was a matter of faith, and they did not know Paul's God, and some of them did not trust Paul or his God, when Paul had made the promise, and they met his conditions, let me ask you, what happened ultimately? You say, well, the ship was destroyed, but every one of them got saved to the land. Of course they did. And all of us, though we may have doubts, and maybe want to escape in a boat, no matter what happens to others, God at times necessitates us believing what he said, and we get safely to the land. And that's the way it's going to be. Understand this. I would like to get to land with the ship intact, with plenty of food left, with the cargo that was brought, but it's not God's will that way. But they get the land. And so when we go through life, I promise you that you will get to the desired haven just where God told you you should go. This is what it says in Psalm 108 and in Philippians chapter 1. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will perfect it, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the psalmist says, I will perfect that which concerneth me. God is going to do for you what he promised to do, and he will be with you to the end. And the Lord Jesus knew that. He said to Pilate, when he said, I have power to crucify you, the Savior said, you have no power at all except it's given thee from above. And so let us understand that when the ship is breaking up and everything that we have trusted in is gone, but we still get the land. And Paul, as he said to them, when the storm was raging, you should have listened to me at first. I told you so, didn't I? Yes. And now, after they're all safe to the land, Paul again should look around and say, didn't I tell you you were going to get straight, safe to the land? And so that is the benefit of those that have faith in God. What God promised, he will bring past, and that's all the time that it is in case.